Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services here at Kerwin Baptist Church, located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
Psalm chapter 9, look at verse 13, if you will. Psalm chapter 9, verse 13. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Oh, if America would just get to that point. I wonder what it would take to literally break America. That we would finally say, God, would you give mercy to us? America's full of pride, isn't it? America's full of arrogance, pride. We're so proud of ourselves. And we're so full of ourselves in America that really we don't need God anymore. And I'm here to tell you that I believe the day will come that we will literally say, God, have mercy on us. Look at verse 13. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice, notice verse 14, in thy salvation. In verse 13 and 14, we are talking about a saved individual. Notice what he says in verse 13, the very last phrase, thou, speaking to God, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. In other words, we are all born with a sinful nature, and listen to me, we are all born basically standing at the gates of hell. That's where we're all headed. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Doesn't matter if you believe it or not. I don't mean to be cruel. I'm not trying to sound like I'm being arrogant this morning. And dear friend, there is nothing in me to be arrogant about. But I am telling you, God's Word is pure. God's Word is right. And God's Word is just. And I believe it. Now, you've got to make a decision this morning. Either we're going to believe what the Bible says or we're not. Everything in life is basically brought down to that point. Either you believe God's Word or you don't. If we don't believe God's Word, we can't help you. If you do believe what God's Word has to say, then the answers are right here. In verse 13, it says that you've lifted me up from the gates of death. Every one of us are born with a sinful nature. We are all born on our way to hell. But through the grace of God, if you hear the truth of God's Word and you receive it, you accept it, you believe it, you say, I believe what God's Word says, that Jesus died for my sins, that He rose again on the third day, and I am putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then He literally lifts us up from the gates of death. Look at verse 14. He says, that I may show forth the praise. In other words, for what you've done, because you lifted me out of the gates of hell. Notice the last phrase, I will rejoice in thy salvation. And if you are saved this morning, you've got a lot to rejoice about. Amen. But verse 15, we see the other side. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. That word heathen means those that are unbelievers. Dear friend, the fact that you might believe that there is a God doesn't make Him your God. Even the demons of hell know there's a God. But the heathen here speak of those who have not believed in the only God. Notice verse 15. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. Now, wait a minute. I thought God's known because of His love. I thought God was known because of His mercy. I thought that was His calling card. And if you will watch the average Christian program nowadays, all you will hear about God is that He is love and He is merciful and He's a good guy and that, you know, He loves you and He doesn't want you to be uncomfortable in life or whatever the case might be. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you that He is a good God and He's a loving God and He's a merciful God and He's a gracious God. But I'm here to tell you what makes Him God and what makes Him known is the fact that He will judge those who have rejected Him. If He did not judge those who believe not, then there is no reward for those that have believed. He is known because of His judgment. That's how you know that He's God. That's how you know that God's Word is true. Because judgment is coming. You say, wow, I came here for a nice, uplifting, encouraging time. Forget visiting this church. Well, dear friend, listen, we're so glad you're here. But while you're here, we're going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
Look, if you would, at verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Then it says this phrase, Hagion Selah. That word Selah means to really think about what you've just heard. That word Hagion literally means that this is serious. You better consider and think about what you've just heard. Now, verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. The wicked shall be turned into hell. I've heard a lot of people ask, preacher, why would a loving God create such an awful place like hell? If you say God is who God is, why would God do something like that? I'll be honest with you. I think our fleshly minds here, I'm a preacher and I believe in God's word. And there have been times I've had this conversation with my wife. Now, I'm just being transparent to you. I have talked to my wife and I said, I wonder why God even created mankind knowing that that's where they're heading. It almost seems cruel that God would even create man if they don't believe they're heading to hell to burn for an eternity. It almost seems like that's a cruel thing for God to do. Why even create them? Why even put them through that misery? Don't even create them then. And dear friend, I want you to understand something. The reason a loving God created an awful place called hell is because it was created not for you. It was created for Satan and his demons that fell and rebelled against God. Heaven was created for you. But there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hell wasn't created to make people miserable. Hell was created to house Satan and his demons. And think about it, dear friend. God created such an awful place, so that ought to motivate us to keep people out of it. If hell wasn't so bad, then why would we want to go to heaven? If hell wasn't so bad, then why believe in Christ? If hell wasn't so bad, then why even try to stay out of it? Hell is what it is, because it ought to scare the living daylights out of us. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Not a lot of people preach about hell nowadays. But I'm being honest with you this morning. It's what God's asked me to do. I fought with him on it, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to get done. And you do with it what you do with it. Number one, this morning, I want you to understand things that hell will never have. Things that hell will never have. You know, a lot of times you get to know something not by what's in it, but by what's not in it. You know, there are certain ingredients in water that if you took those ingredients out of it, it wouldn't be water. And there are certain ingredients in water that if you added just another chemical, it wouldn't be water anymore. It would be something different. So what makes something of what it is not just what's in it, but what's not in it. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you very simply from God's word. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. You're not going to have to turn, but I want to prove my point. Remember what I said, we either believe what the Bible says or we don't. And I want to know you this morning, I'm so glad you're here. I have begged and pleaded and prayed and asked God to work in hearts this morning. And if you're here in this building, you are not here by accident. And if you're watching our services online, and later on when this is shown on TV, if you're watching, you're not watching by accident. God is getting ready to give you a golden opportunity that he might not give you again. Number one this morning, I want you to understand that in hell there will be no light. There is no light in heaven. You say, well, preacher, how do you know that? Well, let me read you some verses. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Matthew chapter 22, verse 13, they said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. 2 Peter chapter 2, these are wells without water, speaking of false teachers, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Listen to this verse, Jude, verse 12 and verse 13. These, speaking of false teachers again, are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Doesn't that sound like America? Without fear. Listen to this. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That means this, they look like they're grand, but they're dead on the inside. And that's what false teachers are, folks, listen to me. Thousands upon thousands of people are flocking to these false teachers, but that doesn't mean that they're going to last. Listen to this, listen to what it says. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, I'm trying to do my best today to tell you this is exactly what the Bible says are some characteristics of hell, and there is no light in hell. It is darkness forevermore. Now, think about it with me. Can you imagine never seeing light again? I have always said I believe one of the hardest things that I would have to face is blindness. I think if I obviously lost my hearing, it would be utterly challenging. And if I lost the use of my legs or my limbs or whatever the case might be, obviously I don't want any of that and I don't want anything to happen. But I'm going to tell you, I think what might would be the hardest is to lose your eyesight. To have nothing but darkness forever. Can you imagine that? I am told that there are a number of reasons why there will be no light in heaven. And I am told this, that when you subject people to darkness for a long period of time with no light, they begin to get agitated and they begin to get confused. And they begin to get to the point that they are so frustrated that they will literally begin to hurt themselves when they haven't had light for the longest period of time. And when I say by this is when you're blind, you might not be able to see light, but you can still feel sunlight. But in hell, there will be darkness, utter darkness, outer darkness forever. I believe an individual will become obviously so painful because of the burning, because of the fire in hell. There will be no light. They won't be able to see anything. And they'll become to get to the point they'll be going so crazy and they'll be so confused and so frustrated and so agitated that I believe in hell people right now are trying to kill themselves in hell, but they can't. You can't die in hell. There will be no light. Why will there be no light, preacher? Because the God's word teaches that the light of the glorious gospel, the Bible says, it won't be in hell. In fact, the Bible teaches obviously that Jesus is the light of the world and he won't be there. There will literally be no light in hell forever and ever and ever. That's what the Bible says. Number two, there will be no liquid in hell. Now, I believe, listen, you might as well be educated when you come to church. Amen. We're not here to be entertained, and we're not here, I might as well educate. This is what the Bible teaches. So we know, you talk to somebody at work, hey, here's the verses, this is what the Bible says. Now, we can believe the Bible or we don't, but this is what the Bible says. Number two, there will be no liquid. Now, number of verses for sake of time this morning. Luke chapter 16, verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, this is speaking of a gentleman that is in hell, and he is speaking, hollering out. Listen to what he says. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. To the torment of those who are in hell, the only cool liquid that will be in hell is the memory that you have of water. Because there'll be no liquid. There'll be no water. There'll be no chance. There won't even be, as the Bible teaches, a drop of liquid in hell. Can you imagine a throat that is so parched, a tongue that is so swollen, that literally hasn't tasted and felt water, let's just say for a month. Dear friend, we're talking about an eternity. We're talking about day after day and week after week and year after year and decade after decade and century after century and millennium after millennium. It will never, ever end. And we can't get folks to come out on visitation. We can't convince people to give a tract to somebody that is headed there. There's no liquid. Number three, there is no laughter in hell. I'll tell you what irks me is when I see, and I understand it, when I see unsaved, wicked, partying, riotous people that America, by the way, dumps money on. Till you get somebody that's an idiot, that's a hellion, makes fun of God and everybody, and we'll make them millionaires in America before long. We'll get them, we'll put them on some dumb reality TV show. And they're getting wealthy by the day. It irks me about America, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to start calling names like the Kardashians. I'm not going to call the names. But it irks me that they have more money than they could burn every day. And we have people that are serving God that don't have anything. And it doesn't seem fair and it doesn't seem right. But the day is going to come. They're not going to have their millions of dollars. And they're not going to have their mansions. And they're not going to go around to little premieres and show themselves. They're going to be burning in a hell. And those that have been saved will have an inheritance that is incorruptible. What irks me is when I hear people like that and they say, well, listen, if I'm going to hell, then I'm going to hell and I'll just party in hell. Dear friend, there's going to be a lot of things going on in hell, but a party is not one of them. Luke chapter 16, verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Doesn't sound like laughter, does it? Luke 16, verse 24, he says, I am tormented in this flame. Doesn't sound like laughter. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell. Doesn't sound like a party to me. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22, verse 13 says the exact same thing. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 14, 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. There's a gentleman named Norman Cousins. He wrote a book called The Anatomy of an Illness. Became very well known. And he had a very debilitating illness and he cured himself. And in the book, he explained that he cured himself with laughter. And he has books, you can Google them right now, you can buy his book on Amazon.com called The Anatomy of an Illness. And he wrote four or five others. And I wanted to read this to you. It says that Norman Cousins tells of being hospitalized with a rare crippling disease. When he was diagnosed as incurable, Dr. Cousins checked out of the hospital, aware of the harmful effects that negative emotions can have on the body. Cousins reasoned the reverse was true, so he borrowed a movie projector and prescribed his own treatment consisting of Marx Brothers films, Laurel and Hardy films, and Candid Camera. It didn't take long for him to discover that 10 minutes of laughter provided 2 hours of pain-free sleep. Amazingly, his debilitating disease was eventually reversed. After the account of his victory appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, Cousins received more than 3,000 letters from appreciative physicians throughout the world that began to diagnose laughter treatments to their patients that ended up reversing illness. Dear friend, the Bible itself even says that laughter doeth good. A merry heart, the Bible says, doeth good like a medicine. Dear friend, I want you to understand, I believe a merry heart does do good, yes, sir, like a medicine. Amen. But in hell, there will be no merry heart. In hell, there will be no laughter. Not only the physical pain, folks, but the emotional and mental anguish that there is nothing to laugh about. Can you imagine, dear friend, and I'm not trying to scare you. You know I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm not trying to work things up. I'm just telling you exactly what the Bible has to say. But I'm going to tell you something. It breaks my heart to think that there could be somebody in this room that'll be burning in hell one day remembering exactly what I'm preaching to you now. Number four, there will be no liberty. There will be no liberty. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I want you to notice first this morning, it'll be on the screen, that those receiving Christ are free forever. If you've been saved, you say, well, this isn't a very encouraging message, preacher. If you're saved, it should be. Because if you're saved, you are reminded once again of what God has saved you from. If you are saved and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are reminded once again of what Jesus saved you from by dying that death on the cross that he did and suffered the shame for you. He prevented you from having to face any of this. You ought to feel more blessed today when you leave this building than the day you got saved. To think I don't have to face this. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." But I want you to notice, secondly, those rejecting Christ are fettered forever. So, preacher, what do you mean? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, listen to this. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." I need to read that again. Now, please listen closely. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." You mean this loving God is literally taking vengeance, dear friends? He gave his only son.
Yes, sir.
He gave the most precious, valuable thing that he could. He gave us a free ticket away from our sinful nature into heaven. You better believe he has a right to have vengeance on those that have spat in his face and rejected him all these years. Dear friend, I hate to say it, but if you hear the truth today and you reject Christ, he has a right to have vengeance on you too. And I'll be honest with you, he has a right to have vengeance on all of us. But the blood of Christ has covered my sins. How about you? Listen to this. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting," it'll never end, "destruction from," that means away from, "the presence of the Lord." That's the worst thing about hell. God won't be there. You'll know the truth. You'll hear the sermons. You'll realize that they were right. And you'll realize that all that junk we saw on TV all the years, they were wrong. But you won't be able to get away from it. There'll be no liberty. There won't even be liberty for you to make up your own mind after that. There'll be no liberty to make any decisions. You have no choices. In fact, if you remember a while back, and every year I tried at least once, you've got to really explain hell. I told you that in hell you will have no identity because you will not matter anymore in hell. You'll be there forever. You're just another soul that Satan won. You won't even have a name. It won't matter. Nobody will ever call your name again. You won't even need a name. The pain will be forever. The darkness will be forever. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." There is no liberty. Look at me. How be it for us to think somehow we're going to have liberty in hell and Satan doesn't? Satan is more powerful and strong than any of us ever dared to even dream of being. And yet even he will be fettered and chained for an eternity in hell. If he's going to be, you know we would.
Yes, sir.
There'll be no liberty in hell. Last this morning, there will be no saved in hell.
Amen.
Folks, there's no exit signs in hell. There's no passing through. There's no escape. When you enter hell, that's it. There's no return. And I do want you to know that there is also something else that will not be in hell, and that's those that have been saved. There'll be no saved individuals there. There'll be no witnesses there. There'll be no preachers there. There'll be no lifeguards there. There'll be nobody there that all of a sudden we see the truth and we're burning in hell and say, "Nay, I believe now and I want to put my faith in Christ now. And I believe now and I believe the Bible now." There'll be nobody to hear you. There'll be nobody that cares. Because the only one that cared enough to do anything about it, Jesus Christ, will not be there. John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That means the saint can never perish. That means if you've been saved by the grace of God, you don't just have everlasting existence, you have everlasting life. A person that is not saved has everlasting death. Right. Those of us that are saved have everlasting life. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Listen to this. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus says. Amen. Wow. Oh, you ought to be excited if you're saved this morning. You ought to say, thank you, Lord, once again for what you've done for me. The saint can never perish, but number two, the sinner cannot avoid punishment. Luke 13, verse 3 says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. John 3, 36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, well, preacher, you know, I don't know if really that's true. Let me tell you what the Bible says. He that believeth not is condemned already. Look at me. It means this, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you are as if you are already burning in hell. It's just a matter of time. Unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. There's no light. There's no liquid. There's no laughter. There's no liberty. And thank God there's no saved in hell. Father, I have done my best to be honest with the people I love so much this morning. Lord, I think if only they knew how hard it is for a man like me to preach a message like I've just preached. People confuse it thinking you're angry, thinking you're being mean. Oh, but God, I'm just being truthful. And Lord, I'm not here to scare anybody. Hell itself should scare them enough. I'm just a messenger boy. Lord, I pray that you would help people this morning to realize how real hell is. To realize that's why you have asked in your word that we should reach people and tell them the gospel and share the gospel and be active and excited about reaching people. Lord, I am sure that if we got just a 2-second glimpse of hell, it would change how we live. But Lord, I think that that's what faith is all about. We have to believe what your word says about heaven. And Lord, I believe that we even have to believe what your word says about hell. And Lord, I ask you to do a work in hearts this morning. And Lord, in a minute when we stand and give an invitation, if there's somebody that doesn't know that they're saved, Lord, I pray that they would come and let us deal with them and show them how they can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. And Lord, if there's somebody here that is saved, I pray, Lord, maybe they'd find an altar this morning and first thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've saved us from. And second, Lord, to begin to pray and call the names out of family and friends that we know are lost.
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from our broadcast. The Kirtland Baptist Church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kirtlandbaptistchurch.com. Enjoy our services live and all our media on our website and church app. Thank you for listening to the Kirtland broadcast today. God bless you.